for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. INTL FC Stone says that Brazilian farmers will likely produce another record soybean crop, this time 93 million tons for the 2014-15 crop year that starts later this month. FC Stone says the area in Brazil planted with soybeans will likely increase by 5% from the previous year to 77 million acres. Brazil harvested a record 85.7 million tons of soybeans in 2013-14, according to the latest government figures. The area planted with corn in September will likely fall in Brazil by 4.7%. The International Energy Agency says that the expansion of renewable energy will slow over the next 5 years unless policy uncertainty is diminished. The report says uncertainty over policy support for biofuels is rising in the European Union and the U.S., slowing expectations for production growth and threatening the development of the advanced biofuels industry. The Dow Jones is currently trading at 17,019. It's down 60 points. The NASDAQ is 4,059, down 10 and one quarter. The S&P 500 is 1,991. It's down 6 points. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending August 29th. Here are the numbers. For 2013-14, corn, minus 7,500 metric tons. For soybeans, minus 87,700 metric tons. For 14-15, corn, 525,600 metric tons. Soybeans, 869,000 metric tons. And wheat, 168,800 metric tons. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The forecast for the U.S. Midwest today has not changed greatly. The general theme of things is basically the same as it has been all this week, and that means we're going to see two waves of precipitation moving across the region. The first one occurs with a cool front coming across the area today. That cool front, by the way, produced temperatures as low as 33 degrees in southwestern portions of North Dakota this morning. Upper 30s and lower 40s were noted in the rest of the northwestern plains. Well, that kind of cold is not going to reach into the Midwest this time around, but I only mention it because it's exemplary of what kind of coolness is still possible next week when the real cold air starts to come down into the north central parts of the United States, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But this first frontal system will generate some rain and thunderstorms today and tonight across the western corn belt, and tonight into Saturday for the eastern areas. In fact, some of the eastern part of the Midwest may see a few showers and storms later this afternoon. We'll expect this first event, though, to produce maybe a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch of rain, and not much more than that. The second wave of rain will come with the big surge of cold air that's expected to come out of Canada as we go into the middle part of next week, actually the early to middle part of the week, and we'll see this rain event impacting the western corn belt on late Monday, Tuesday, maybe early Wednesday, and the eastern Midwest will probably see the precipitation occurring Tuesday and Wednesday, maybe lingering into Thursday. The precipitation, it will be greater during that event because of the stronger temperature contrast, which is likely to occur across the region. Warm and moist air will be present in front of that system, and of course it'll be very cold and dry behind it, setting the stage for some possible severe thunderstorms, and certainly strong thunderstorms that are going to be capable of producing some hail and damaging wind, and perhaps even some localized heavy rainfall may get into the 1 to 2 and even 2 to 3 inch range in a few pockets. between these two frontal systems and their associated precipitation, we'll see good drying conditions, and the Midwest really needs that right now. A lot of the region is saturated, and there's a lot of talk out there about crops being slow and maturing, across the area, and we'll probably continue to hear talk about this for a little while longer, especially because it's going to turn cooler across the region. Today we'll see afternoon readings going mostly into the range of 60s and 70s in the northwestern one-third of the region, and we'll expect to see the cool air overspread the rest of the region, but as it does, well, it'll moderate this weekend, and highs on Saturday should be 70s in most locations. Sunday will probably still be in the 70s for a big part of the Midwest, with some lower 80s still a possibility, I suppose, in a few locations in the southernmost and westernmost fringes of the region. We'll look for the warmer air to come back across the region, though, as we move from Monday into Tuesday, and we'll see 70 and 80 degree highs both those afternoons. So enjoy it while you can, because the temperatures will turn sharply colder a little bit later in the week, and we'll expect to see those temperatures falling back into the 50s and 60s in the northwestern part of the region, and 60s and 70s in the southwest. That'll start occurring in the southeast. That'll start about a week from now and go into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. We do think that frost and freezes are still a potential for the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, and certainly across the northern plains and Canada's prairies, and we'll look for damage to occur because of those conditions. As far as the U.S. Midwest is concerned, though, it's just too soon to talk about specific temperature ranges, but we do think that there will be a good reason to continue to monitor this cold air mass over the weekend. The coldest mornings will be Friday and Saturday of next week, and that's the reason why we want to hold off on specifics of this event. It leaves plenty of time for the system to moderate. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Busey supports small businesses and entrepreneurs to bring vibrancy to the local economy. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 622 and three quarters, up 2.5. Soft September wheat, 530 and a quarter, up 5. December, 530, down a quarter. September corn, 337 and a half, up 1 3/4. December, 348 and three quarters, down 2 1/4. Go out to July, it's 377 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. September soybeans, 1071 and three quarters, up 7 1/2. November, 1007 and a half, up 4 1/4. September soybean meals, 437.50, up $6.10. September soybean oil, 31.86, down 11. October live cattle, 159, 12 and a half, up 207 and a half. September feeders, 224.80, up a dollar. And October lean hogs are 104.25, and they're up 160. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill. Well, wait a second here. Hello, Bill. Well, we seem to be having some technical issues with getting Bill on the telephone this morning. Let me go ahead and read some news, some agricultural news for you. It is increasingly likely that the U.S. House will take up legislation to block the Environmental Protection Agency from issuing a Waters of the United States rule to clarify the scope of the Clean Water Act, a step that could give EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers greater regulatory reach over a greater number of acres. The proposed legislation to block the rule would prohibit EPA and the Corps from developing, finalizing, adapting, implementing, applying, administrating, or enforcing the proposed rule or any associated guidelines that attempts to clarify the scope of the Clean Water Act. The legislation could be taken up as early as next week after Congress returns to Washington. A new report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development says that government support for agriculture in OECD countries trended lower in 2013. The report finds that total support to producers in OECD countries in 2013 equaled about 18% of gross farm receipts. That's down slightly from 2012 and compared with around 30% two decades ago. The report says that Australia, Chile, and New Zealand limit themselves to safety net measures and disaster relief and R&D and transfer less than 3% worth of gross farm receipts and support to agricultural programs. The U.S. remains at the low end of OECD subsidizing nations at around 7.5%, while the European Union provides agricultural supports equal to nearly 20% of gross farm receipts. Checking how the market currently trading: September corn, 338.25, up 2.5. December, 348.75, up 2. Go out to July at 377.25, up 1.75. September soybeans, 1071.75, up 7.5. November, 1007.75, up 4.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.